Thanks for coming to worship this morning and giving your praise to God. It's been a blessed service very much, and hopefully for you and people around you, we can just continue in fellowship with the Lord throughout the week. This is the third message in a series on stewardship, and every year I like to focus in on our stewardship of what the Lord gives us and do two or three sermons on that. So if you're a visitor, stewardship is not every Sunday, and Jesus did teach, as one preacher said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, and so maybe preaching about giving is more blessed than preaching about receiving. So the Lord gives to us Himself, His love, and we're about to participate in the Lord's Supper. He gives to us Himself, so we're glad to give to Him our trust and hearts. To start off with a question this morning, thinking about your past experience in life, how many have ever had anything stolen from them? Maybe put your hand up. Large items, wallet, card, credit card, or car. Okay, fair amount. And we had a car stolen in our family one time. My wife went to work, parked it in a normal spot, and everything was terrific. And then after work came back and no car. And the feelings that she had in her soul, it was, why did that happen? What do I do? How do I get home? And God provided. And we searched for the car ourselves, couldn't find it. Went to sleep that night and got a call at 3 a.m. from the Pittsburgh police saying, you can come get your car. We found it. I wish they wouldn't call us in the middle of the night. But we went to get it, and the only thing they took was the radio and a couple items in the car. Must not have liked the car too much. So we're thankful about that. But the feelings we had, if you've had anything stolen, you feel like something's not right here. Something is missing between how life was supposed to go. And who would you think of if you thought of somebody who'd be the last one in the whole universe to have anything stolen from them? That would be God. Probably be the last person, the last one you'd think would have anything stolen from him would be the Lord. And who would dare steal from God? I'd find myself in trouble if I stole from God. Of course, couldn't get away with it. And in the Old Testament, God confronts his people in the book of Malachi and says, starts off by saying in Malachi, through the prophet, I have loved you. And in those chapters in Malachi, he shepherds the people back to himself in various parts of their life. Chapter 1, he says, well, your worship, however, even if I love you, your worship is out of bounds and sinful. It's not right. Your heart's not right with me. Chapter 2, he talks about family life. He says, well, your family life's out of bounds and sinful, and you should return to me. And in chapter 3, he talks about people's stewardship and said, that part is out of bounds. And return to me, and I will return to you. God gives that message. And he asked the people a question, would anybody rob God? And they say, how are we robbing you? And the Lord says, you rob me in tithes and offerings. So that's how the Lord feels when we don't give to him out of gratitude. And when you think about it, a tithe is a word not used probably anywhere else except in church life or out of the scripture. And you often wonder, where did that come from, the tithe and offering? Where did that start in the scripture? Well, if you go back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis, there's a man named Abraham. He trusted God, and through that he became right with God. He had peace with God. And this morning, if you feel not at peace with God or accepted by him, you should know that Christ has done everything for you. So if you trust Christ, you'll be at peace with God through faith in him. That's the way Abraham was. He trusted God. And he came across a fellow named Melchizedek who kind of came from nowhere. Nobody knew where he came from. He shows up and spends time with Abraham. And about Melchizedek, it's known that he's a king and a priest. And they spend some time together. And Abraham gives this king and this priest one-tenth of everything he had, and Abraham was quite a wealthy person. And then Melchizedek goes off the scene. And we know from the New Testament that Melchizedek is a type of Christ, or like a foreshadowing of who Jesus is. In fact, when Melchizedek came to be with Abraham, he brought bread and wine, almost like looking forward to what God would do for Abraham, what Abraham couldn't do for himself. He would send a Savior. And Christ can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. But Abraham gave a tenth, and that was to honor the Lord and what the Lord would do for him. And so later on, that became the history of that became a law among God's people. God said, part of what I want you to do is bring a tenth of what you have to the place of worship. Okay, bring it there. Set that aside. And give to the Lord as an act of worship to Him. Just like we sang our praises this morning, or pray, greet each other. Give to the Lord as an act of worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, God's gracious enough to give His motivation for having that law. And the motivation is this in Deuteronomy 14. Bring a tithe to the place of worship, that you may always fear the Lord. And so that's to represent what we give to the Lord, our love for Him or our respect for Him. Lord, thank You. We do this out of thanks to who You are and gratitude to Yourself. And I like the way the Living Bible translates that verse about giving because you fear the Lord. Says this: the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. Okay, just a practical way of saying, Lord, You come first. You've given me means to make a living and have some basic health, and I give You the first tenth as a thanks to God. And in our worship time, that makes the offering, for example, a wonderful part of worship. And it was a blessing to be here with you during the offering. The bulletin says, for example, a part of our worship is the Lord's tithe and our offerings. It's just a reminder of saying, well, the first tenth belongs to God as a gift to Him. And then offerings we do to honor Christ. I used to think the offering in church was a time to kind of a seventh inning stretch or something, or a timeout during the football game. You can kind of talk to your neighbor if you want to, get a piece of gum, blow your nose, read the bulletin. That's what happens during the offering, right? Now, it's a very special time between God and us where we say, Lord, you are great. Thank You. I remember an old song in the late 1960s. This is ancient history for some of you. There, a fellow sings a secular song. He said, when they passed around the plate in church, I didn't have a penny to give. So he said, thank You, Lord. That was his offering during the offering time. I knew a dear Christian woman who loved Christ. And during the offering, she said, when the offering happened in church, when the plate was passed, whether she put anything in the plate or not that day, she said she would give her heart to Christ as a thanks to Him. Almost like, Lord, here's my soul given to You. Thank You so much. And isn't that what the offering's all about? One soul given to Christ as an act of praise to Him. Paul said in his letters, give yourself first to the Lord and then to His work, then to what He's up to. So what a wonderful thing. I don't know whether that particular Christian lady gave one-tenth or not. But I know every Sunday it was a special time between her and Christ. It was probably the best offering given. The Lord looks at our heart. And a time to praise His name. And when you think of it, it's a privilege to give to God, because it's a privilege to give to your loved one. We're coming up on time of the year and Christmas where you think of special gifts to give to loved ones, children, husband or wife. When I was first married, a buddy of mine who was an elder in the first church that I served at, we used to go shopping for our wives on Christmas Eve. We were last-minute men doing our thing. We weren't looking for a bargain, but we thought a special day, Christmas Eve, get that special gift for our special loved one. And that sounds like what can happen for an offering to God. A special gift, a special day, the Lord's Day set aside for worship to our one great loved one, Christ. It's fun to give to those you love and to keep the focus there. And when you give, make sure you give with the heart that gives to the Lord. Again, it's an act of worship. One of the most significant things you do. You might not sing real loud during the songs, or you may be distracted and not pray, but you can give heart gift to the Lord during the offering. The focus on Him. Keep Him as the focus. Some people say, when I give, I give to the church, you know. Some people use that phrase. Or I give because there's a project going on. I'm excited about the project. So I give. Good project going on, I give a lot. Bad project going on, I don't give. You see where the focus of the heart is. If you give to the church, you know, if you like what's happening in the church, you give. It becomes a conditional gift. If you don't like what's happening in the church, then you don't give, right? That's a normal human response. But if you give to the Lord, you're always glad to give to Him. That's the focus of the worship. It's entrusted to you from God. You entrust it back to Him. He'll take good care of it. And sometimes even in offerings, you might have had this happen. If you're upset with your brother and sister in Christ, even in the church, you might say, I'm not going to participate in the offering. The offering at that point almost becomes a weapon. You know, it's like I went to my dad's birthday party. I was mad at my brother, so I didn't give my dad a gift to teach my brother a lesson. You ever think like that? You say, well, you got it all mixed up. You give it to the Lord. And you're glad, so glad to give to Him. Keep Him as the focus. And the Lord will take care of the church. The Lord will take care of the projects. You know, the Lord is not lacking for resources to get His work done. He really is not. He uses each one to honor His name. And when it comes to giving one-tenth, you might think, wow. You know, as a believer, after the first couple of months, I had never heard of that. People showed me in the Bible that that was a helpful standard that God set up to help us fear and honor Him. And did you know Jesus approved of tithing in the New Testament? He said, don't leave that undone. That's what He taught in the Gospels. Don't leave that undone. And I'm sure Jesus Himself gave one-tenth to God in an act of worship, because He didn't break the law. He was perfect and was without sin. In one of the churches I came from, we used to have testimonies surrounding stewardship. They were real exciting. I hope to do that here perhaps next year. And people would just volunteer to give testimony as to how God blessed them through the practice of giving to the Lord and through the practice of tithing. And some of the testimonies are quite good, funny, and hilarious. Often a person would say, you know, when I give to the Lord, everything else in my life seems to fall in place well because I put Him first in that area of my life. Another person shared, my shoes seem to last longer than normal. Everybody else's shoes are wearing out quickly. My shoes just seem to keep rolling. And because you give to the Lord first, and He takes care of the rest. Another said, God has never been a debtor to me. When you think about that, how the Lord gives, He's the most gracious one in the universe. The Lord's never been a debtor to me. And another one said, I've learned I cannot outgive God. I give to Him. And the wonderful thing about the offering time, the Lord uses that not just a moment in time on a Sunday morning, but the Lord uses that gift to do wonderful work in the future. There's a song out in the late 80s. The song was, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. So when somebody prays during the offering, maybe they become converted during the offering. I think the Holy Spirit can do that. Or they give a gift or a tithe. God co-labors with that act of praise to Him to bring great work done around the world and towards Christ. You think of a Christmas shoebox. That's an offering meant to honor the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to learn to give from the Lord. Billy Graham, who doesn't teach tithing as a legalistic obligation, taught about tithing this way. Listen to what he wrote. He said, "We have found in our home, when we give God one-tenth, first of what we have, not what's left over after the bills. Those bills come rolling in. The Lord will never get anything like that. When we give to the Lord first, God's blessing upon the rest is amazing. We have never found ourselves in great need. If tithing is appropriate under the law," he said, "it is even more so under grace. What would be an appropriate gift to the Lord because of salvation? Oh, Lord, let me give joyfully. Be glad to do that." He said, "Give a tenth with joy and thankfulness, and you will see, you will see." That's Billy Graham's testimony. I'll share a brief testimony in my life. A number of months after I received Christ, people showed me, well, to give to God is a privilege. And he taught in the Old Testament, one-tenth. I said, well, that sounds easy to me. That sounds good. I want to do that because of what Christ did for me. It came for me personally as one of the more simple activities of honor to God that I would do. When he said, love your neighbor as yourself, scratching my head, that's hard. I'll be working on that all my life. I know that. Control your tongue. Okay. Need your daily help. Be a good witness. That's right. But to give to God, I can learn that early. I can learn that early. A five-year-older can practice giving to the Lord a tenth or an offering that's given. And Jesus talked about tithing in the New Testament, but surprisingly, he only mentioned it on two occasions. And he gave stern warning on those two occasions. And the warning was not for those who didn't tithe. The warning was for those who did tithe. And in any given gathering of Christians around the U.S., normally about 25% of folks would give to the Lord a tenth as an offering. And then 75%, you know, kind of give as you feel led practice. But Jesus' warning was not for those who did not tithe. His warnings were for those who did tithe. He said, if you give God one-tenth and neglect love for God, neglect His mercy or His justice or His faithfulness, he said, you're in big trouble. So sometimes tithers are in big trouble because you tithe for the wrong reasons. And you can give God one-tenth and not love Him and not love people. I've done that as part of my life since I learned early to give to the Lord. Sometimes I just give out of habit, not for my love for Christ. And you know what? At that time, it's a garbage gift. You've been in situations of loved ones. You just give because you know you were supposed to give and your heart wasn't in it, so there it was. But if you can tithe and not love God. But if you do love God, if He means everything to you because of what Christ has done, you cannot help but want to give to Him. Because love gives. Love really thrives on giving. And so this morning, wherever your heart is at with the Lord, you might meet that Old Testament standard and say, I give to the Lord one-tenth joyfully. Always check your heart as to why you do that. That's where Jesus would point this morning. To those who say, well, I'm not going to deal with that Old Testament standard, or I don't know how to give. I just give whatever's left over or whatever. The Lord would say, give out of gratitude and thanks, not under compulsion. Hear God's word of how you can give an offering to Him and really honor Him and see wonderful things done in the lives of many and in people around you. When it comes down to it, in the New Testament, tithing is not highly stressed. Giving out of gratitude is stressed. And to me, gratitude was always a higher motivation than some percentage anyway. three cheers for the tithe. But when I'm thankful, it's good to give to God and be a generous, gracious person. Because ultimately, the New Testament does teach us generosity and gratitude are a sign of those who have received Christ and are heaven-bound. Selfishness and greed, on the other hand, are a sign for those who have not received Christ and are headed in the wrong direction, hell-bound. So even the offering is used by the Holy Spirit to say, where are we at with the Lord and how good to give to Him? Paul, so wonderful, is an example to us. Every time he talked about the offering, you know what he did? He started talking about the offering, and before you knew it, he was talking about the Lord more than the offering. He says, be a cheerful giver. But then he says, God has scattered his gifts to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. He said, God will make you able to give. Give thankfully to him. And he closed a part of talking about the offering by saying, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And I think in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit motivates us to say that. Thank you, God, for you. So whatever I give, might it be a reflection of my love for you, my trust in you. And I will gladly, like that woman in worship, I'll gladly give my soul to the Lord. Give first to him my heart. And then he'll teach me how to give in other ways. In a moment, we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. On the front of the communion table are the words, do this in remembrance of me. One of the fellows in church here said he took that phrase from the scripture and he used it at work to remind him that the work he was doing was not just for him or to earn a living, but it was to co-labor with Christ at that moment in work. And as you give to the Lord and be a steward, might you say, I give this in memory of Christ, right to him. Praise will abound to God, Paul said, as a result of that. And we're going to pray together as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. And let the Holy Spirit bring you to turning to him in this area, giving to the Lord joyfully what belongs to him and then what we offer in thanks. Let's pray together as his people. Father, I pray for any here today who would be thinking about that offering and maybe want to hold back their heart, their soul from you. And Jesus, that they would just turn to you at this time and you would bring a new birth from above. And that they would pray a simple sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me and for dying for my sins. I receive you, Lord. I turn from my sin. Please help me follow you in the fellowship of your church. Jesus, might these messages on stewardship bring a conversion to the hearts that are there. We think of Malachi saying, turn to me, God would say, and I will turn to you. And then for each believer here, Father, might there be a joyful repentance among many. Father, you know our hearts. And so we think of the scripture where Jesus said, angels rejoice when one repents. Might there be repenting among the angels because people at Norwin Alliance Church repented in the area of stewardship. They started to take care of what God gave them. They started to give to the Lord joyfully and cheerfully. And it was a wonderful time to give to God. We pray, Father, for the experiences we'll have this week. We think of the elections coming up. We pray, Father, that our votes would reflect Christ and that our votes would reflect his ways, his works. Lord, in terms of family life, for example, our votes would reflect healthy marriages between a man and a woman, that our votes would reflect protection of life, the unborn child. Lord, as you value those ones, might we value that in our voting. Father, give guidance, give help to our nation. We know we're in trouble much. and you could bring much help. Thank you for your help for those who are overcoming cancer, different cancers going into remission. Thank you, Jesus, for helping people. We pray, Father, for Doug and Naomi Ord, their little granddaughter, Hannah, who was born with such a disability and brokenness in her body. Please be with Hannah and bring her a miracle, Father, and health. Be with her parents, Tim and Mandy. Father, we thank you for Fred Bright, and as he and his daughters go to a memorial service this afternoon for Marilyn, his wife, give blessing to that family. Give comfort to all here today who remember loved ones. Father, be with those who Monday will spend time in a telethon blessing Israel at Channel 40. Might that go well for your good work. And Lord, give us close fellowship with yourself during this communion time. Let us again abide in your love that we might trust and follow you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.